KUJZ is 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
When I win.
Live from the Papa John's studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire throwers. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Welcome to Monday. And now, football season is officially over. As we welcome you to crunch time and sports talk, I will vent my hatred for Kyle Shanahan for the next 3 hours. He owes me $260 plus my original $100 investment. I accept nothing less. I am now an adamant anti-49ers fan. Forever. I forgive nothing. I forget nothing.
$5? Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Actually, I'm kind of over it. But what they say this year, this season, 10-point leads in the last 2 minutes of games in the NFL this year was 164-1, and now it's 164-2. It's only the Super Bowl with that. Poison punch, knife kick, all these things I would like to do to him. I'll tell you what, that $50 I invested the weekend before Illinois played Michigan State in football, so it was October. I just logged on because I had a bunch of props yesterday. Based on Lee Sterling and his daughter, I bet the under in the anthem. So I was up $20 early. It was under 150, a minute and 56. She pounced it out in 149. So it was easy. You win it easy. The other prop that I bet that I won was the first score of the game would be a Niners field goal. If what's-his-face, Garoppolo, threw a pass that would have won the Super Bowl, I'd have won my other prop bet. Deebo Samuel came up 20 yards short of over 76. So that was it. Otherwise, it was I guess a good ball game. I still don't understand that play call on 2nd and 5 when they were on the march and they were running. I mean, their MO this year was we're on the lead, we're going to run on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down and dare you to stop it. And, okay, I went back and looked at it, and we've all probably seen it like, I don't know how many times. There's no way that's offensive PI on Kittle. And for people telling me he extended his arm, look at the defender. He doesn't even, it's like the defender probably was like, I didn't notice. Shh, don't tell anybody. His forward progress or ability to defend Kittle was not impeded in any way. But they deserve to lose the game. So the hell with them. And plus, when I first moved to town in 1990, I used to refer to that fan base as the 40 Winer fans because, when they win, they are the worst. They are the absolute worst. You could just, I've been, in 1990, when I first got to town, I was cornered in, I think it was Good Times, by drunk Niner fan who also spit while he yelled. This guy would have had Roger Craig and Rice's and Montana's baby if he could have somehow figured it out scientifically. I mean, it was over the top. And he was a couple years older than me. So I just was looking at him, and he just finished. He found out where I was from, you know, had seen me a couple times on Sunday morning watching Jets and Giants. And he just, when it was one of those deals where, we've put the clock on people who've called here, and it's like, Dude, do you realize you just spoke for a minute? It's supposed to be a conversation, and you didn't come up for air for a full minute. This guy went on for three. I swear. And, you know, 3 minutes doesn't seem long, but like my uncle used to say, who was a very punctual man, said, for people who don't think being 5 minutes late is wrong or long, he said something, I'll paraphrase. How would you like to hang by your fill-in-the-blank over an alligator pit for 5 minutes? After that, tell me 5 minutes isn't long. So perhaps in the fate of the sports gods, it was best that the Chiefs won. Especially living out here and especially having to deal with Niners! Niners!
So you just went from, I need Kyle Shanahan to repay me back $250 because he lost me a
bet. It's more like $270.
Sorry, $270. Apologies. I'm sure he'll take the payment for postage and shipping. Probably is going to come off the top of that from you. But, well, that's fine. We'll move on from that. You went from, I'm so mad at Kyle Shanahan, he lost me money on a bet, to, I'm really glad the 49ers lost because I couldn't stand 49er fans. I wouldn't be able to be around them.
Yes. That's my final answer.
In a matter of 5 minutes.
I don't even think it was five full minutes.
Well, we started the show a little after 3. It's now 3:07. I'll give you a minute on the front end. I don't even think you said hello or what the plan was for the show today. Just right off the bat, immediately, Kyle Shanahan gave me my money. 5 minutes later, I'm happy they lost. That's incredible. Yeah, that's one hell of a circle to talk yourself through.
I did, though.
Did you get dizzy?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. Dramamine? Anything?
Nope. So anyway, welcome to Crunch Time. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Man, there's a lot of talk on social media about this Oregon-UConn game coming up at the top of the hour. We'll obviously have the call with TJ on KGN News Talk 590, starting with the pregame at 3:30. If you're looking for it on the tube, oh, it's a biggie. They've got the A-team in stores, as you might imagine. Former Husky legend. Was Rebecca Lobo like the first Oriema legend who won like 110 out of 111 games and like 17 straight national championships? Player of the year. She's in the Hall of Fame. She's also the lead analyst for ESPN. She'll be there with Adam Amon and the sports siren. Holly Rowe will be there. So that's good stuff. Anyway, if you want in, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. So how about Derek Nnadi? He's the second-year defensive lineman for the Kansas City Chiefs. He went down to the local KC dog shelter and said, how many dogs are here? 91. What would it cost so that people could just adopt them for free and I'll pay all the fees? They gave him a number and he paid it. So good for that, dude. That's so cool. What else happened? Oh, Damian Lillard happened. I know this is mean, but yeah, Oregon just missed the men just missed another wide open shot. Wow. I got to tell you something. The Ducks are a good shooting team. They were missing in close. I mean, Pritch of all people, Richardson. When they expanded, you know, that's one of the few times, I'm going to say, since they first made the tournament under Altman, kind of altered the entire complexion of the program and became regular achievers and rare underachievers. Them expanding the lead to 9 in a game like that and then getting outscored 31-13 down the stretch. I'm telling you, make a note of that. That does not happen very often with a Dana Altman coach team. And by the way, where else would it have happened but Maples, right? I mean, so they've won twice there. He ended that drought when about 2012. If you remember, they hadn't won at Palo Alto since 86. They broke that drought. Amazing. So, by the way, the people who get upset over the halftime show, it's just, I don't want to use the D word, but that's just dumb. It's like, what did you expect? It's an extravaganza.
It's Miami.
It's Miami, like Nick just said.
It's
those
Miami.
Those two performers,
my goodness, people,
are just... You know what you're getting. They're always choreographed. They're always an act that's choreographed to shake it up. And, you know, they're both two freaking goddesses.
Shakira's most famous song is Hips Don't Lie. You think she was going to go up there and not shake her hips around?
She didn't even play
that song.
She was going to sing from the Debbie Boone playlist. You light up my life.
Please never sing again.
That was meant to be the worst thing that you've ever heard, and I hope I was successful.
I think I might quit. That was that bad.
Okay, I will relate to you a true story. I won't embellish. I won't extend. I won't qualify. I won't explain. My dad is texting me during the game. First, he wants to know, even though... my dad is device challenged. He'll email me something, then text me, did you get it? I'm like, I responded. So, Dad, I'll call you at halftime. All right, so we're talking, then I'm explaining. All right, so I got this. I'm at my kids. He's asking who's there, what we're having to eat, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, this is my 84-year-old dad. I'm blowing you off. I want to watch J-Lo.
That sounds like, one, the most honest person in America, yeah. And two, a very subtle way of saying, Steve, I don't care about your bets anymore. I think you've got a gambling problem. Please let me go watch J-Lo.
By the way, he did the most dad thing ever. He signed on to one of the sites where you're now allowed to bet in Jersey and couldn't figure out how to make a bet. When I ended up calling the company, I think it was FanDuel in Jersey, you can make a bet. He was like, and they said, they're just going to refund my money. But you got to understand something, where you are. J-Lo is like, you know, she's Jenny from the block. I mean, she's from the Bronx. So New Yorkers have a special place in their heart for Jennifer Lopez. But anyway, people are just, there's a segment of this country that are children that just can't handle stuff like that. And by the way, what am I doing right now? I'm pressing a button. If you don't want to watch it, change it.
Thank you for explaining what you were doing while being on the radio. It's very helpful.
I know. Well, I was going to let you do it, but you can't be trusted. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve. You know, the only reason I didn't like the halftime show is because of this giant burn on my inner thigh from dumping a bowl of chili in my lap from being mesmerized by watching Shakira shake her fist. So.
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the Super Bowl yesterday, I made my first bet on the Oregon Sports app, and I bet $10 on Patrick Mahomes scoring the first touchdown of the game, and it paid out $210 off of $10.
Nice!
Yeah, it was a pretty nice win, pretty nice win. But I was calling because I, first of all, I wanted to talk about Damian Lillard and just the terror that he has been on. And, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to, like, MVP and MVP conversation, I know that, like, a lot of Blazer fans have thought that he was deserving in the past. But if he can back them in to the playoffs and he carries them on his back like he's doing, I mean, he then, I think, is definitely in the conversation because he becomes the most valuable player to his team. And that's what that award is about. Because without him, you know, they would be nothing with what he's doing right now.
Yeah, I think the problem is he has to do more than back them into the eight. I know it's asking a lot, but they've got to get like over 500 and start sneaking up on OKC and Dallas. I just don't see a 500 team as an eight seed that's likely to get waxed in the first round generating an MVP. He will get votes. He's in the discussion. This six-game run of averaging, 49 a game is historic. But like I said, I'm right now on February 3rd thinking a tad premature.
Well, I just know that if he keeps on this tear like he is, I mean, look what he did against two of the top defensive teams in the league the last two games. They couldn't stop him. You know, I mean, they contained everybody else, but, you know, we're pretty much saying Damian Lillard's going to have to beat us, and he went out and did it. if he keeps it up at this level, I mean, they have a shot at getting more than the 8 seed, you know, moving up a little higher.
Yeah, but the problem is, like I said, there's only, 32 games left, and they're 7 back. They're going to need OKC or Dallas to come back to Earth.
Yeah, I just do think it's funny how a guy that's putting up video game numbers isn't a starter in the All-Star game, though. But what do you do?
Well, the problem is the votes were in before this nuttiness started.
Yeah, that's true. All right, take care, Steve.
Take it easy. The reaction around basketball to Lillard. First of all, when we talk about the greatest player of all time, and I've said this before, and I will stand up to represent both the new player who's not getting enough credit from the old guys and the old player who's not getting enough credit from the newbies. When you talk about Jordan or LeBron or whoever you want to put in the greatest ever conversation, look at what Lillard's doing now. Yeah, Chamberlain averaged more than that for a whole season. I mean, I'm sorry, when you think about that, that is insane. They had to change the world because of him. They had to widen the lane. So, what?
Every time you say that, I think about how crazy it is that they had to physically alter the playing surface because somebody was too good at football. Like, can you imagine, like, Patrick Mahomes next year, like, somebody just goes off, or not even Patrick Mahomes, but a quarterback goes for, like, 6,000 yards. They're throwing for multiple 400-500-yard games a season. They've got talents that are too fast. They're running by everybody. And the NFL is like, okay, fields are now 120 yards long. You have to get through the back of the end zone to get a touchdown now. You don't just have to break the plane. You got to play a little bit farther.
And we have 20 fans in uniforms right. with pads waiting for you at the very end of 110 yards. So and by the way, I do believe that a game alters the narrative. I mean, last week when we were talking with Fentress about it, and I think I brought it up maybe on Wednesday, I said I was watching ESPN, and I forget which of the analysts who in just talking, yeah, you know, fourth-rated defense, fifth-rated offense, and Arsenal. And, of course, you have Mahomes, the best quarterback in the NFL. And then, remember, Nick and I were like, wow, that's kind of matter of fact. But how accurate is it? And we were like, okay. I think I said I took like 12 to 15 seconds where I was watching the rest of the conversation on TV. The sound was up, but I didn't hear anything. Because in my mind, I was like, wait. Oh, you're right. And he proved it. That guy is a werewolf, a vampire. The play isn't over until the silver bullet or the stake is through him. He is, I'll tell you what, you know, I don't really get that upset when I'm watching a game, even if I'm losing a bet. I'll drop an F-bomb here and there, but it'll last like 3 seconds. I'm over it. I got to tell you, he's one of my favorite players to watch. And I'm not saying NFL. I'm not saying football, basketball, baseball. That guy's a frigging wizard. He is so good.
Him being like some sort of actual mutant frog alien explains the voice, the talent, the ability to do what he's done.
The Reese's Take Five?
Just something. There's an alien inside of him that like messed up on the voice modulator and he sounds funny and he lives on ketchup or something like that. Like, that's what the alien is, and we've just accepted, this is a normal thing that normal people do. He really likes ketchup. He's still a child. We'll let him throw for 50 touchdowns in his technically rookie season starting. We'll let him win an MVP. We'll let him win the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl MVP. He's just a normal guy. This is what we do. No, Patrick Mahomes is an alien. I think we all need to get on board on that take.
He had great moments yesterday. You know, the one interception was a young guy interception. He didn't account for a linebacker in a deep drop. It happens. The other interception was just a bad throw. It was behind Hill. And, you know, he, unfortunately for the Chiefs and Mahomes, tried to one-hand it, which obviously you're going to do. You're a receiver. And it bounced up and ended up getting intercepted. And by the way, the dude who made the pick, Tarvarius Moore, that's your first NFL interception. And, well, the conversation's going to alter from bouncing kids and grandchildren and nieces and nephews on his knee and saying, I intercepted a pass against one of the greatest quarterbacks ever and it helped us win a Super Bowl. Now it's like, yeah, we made the Super Bowl. I even had a pick. We lost. Friggin' Mahomes. I hate that guy.
That was the interception where I was watching a couple of friends, and one of my friends went, that's it. That's the game. It's over now. They just threw an interception.
Oh, if I was there, there's a fist fight.
There's no time left, and he was like kind of half rooting for the Chiefs a little bit, and he's just like, they can't do it anymore. He's just like, that's the worst time to have that interception happen. They were down 10 points with 11 minutes to go, and then with a minute to go, they were up 11.
I know. I was there.
That doesn't make sense, Steve.
Hey, question.
Down 10 to up 11.
Did Damian Williams get stiffed out of the MVP?
Oh, yeah, big time. I thought so.
To tell you the truth, I didn't watch any of the postgame. We just go right into shooting pool and playing darts. I really don't care. And to tell you the truth, I only watched about 3 minutes of the halftime show because... Again,
shooting pool and playing darts.
I really don't care. It's not my cup of tea, but I took a look at J-Lo and I was like, no, wait a minute. She's going to be 51?
Yeah.
First of all, she took Father Time out behind the woodshed and just beat the crap out of him. And then I read a story from, I think, Newsweek. I mean, she trains like a decathlete. She has... a regimen and a personal trainer that puts her through a routine. Well, obviously, you know, she's in a TV series. Is that still a thing? She's obviously done a lot of movies. But when she performs with that kind of choreography, I mean, I'll tell you what, having grown up in a family with a dance studio, people who like dance for a living and are in choruses and do shows like that, you never see an out-of-shape dancer. I mean, you know, there's a reason, whether it was from the Jane Fonda workout days or from some of the current workouts. Man, you got to be in shape. That's some kick-ass cardio. But, yeah, Damian Williams rushes for a hundy, catches a touchdown for out of the backfield, and, you know, he had 104 of their 125 yards on the ground. And Mahomes was a magician when he needed to be. You can't deny that. But, I mean, his quarterback rating was, yeah. We've seen it, by the way. You know, you look at the Peyton Manning Super Bowl. He wasn't very good, but nobody else was either. I guess we'll get to that in a little bit. By the way, Michael Riley, the new CEO of Tracktown USA, is going to join us at 4:30 because the first Tracktown Tuesday is tomorrow. We'll have a Richter scale to end crunch time. We'll have a light 'em up to end the 4 o'clock hour. And then I guess you guys, this is what our lives have come to. We're leaning on you guys. So show some sympathy for the love of God and all that is decent. We'll take a break. We'll be back. More Crunch Time. 95.3 The Score.
We're riding the waves of technology just for you. You can call the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline at 284-8571. Text 321-0824. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953.
Garoppolo keeps play action. Pass is caught. Juszczyk. Touchdown. Juszczyk has proven that he can do it all. And Juszczyk gets a big play off of it. Handoff here. It's Mostert. He is in for the touchdown.
Hey, what's the name of that company that you see the commercials on if you crack your windshield? Is it Safe Light?
Yeah, Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
One of our favorite callers, Jackie, said, when I sang earlier, her windshield cracked.
I think now, instead of Kyle Shanahan paying you money for your lost bet, you need to replace that windshield. You probably broke...
Safe light repair, safe light replace.
There's 19,000 more just down the drains. Cars that aren't even listening to our station pick that up on the frequency and they just shatter.
They don't understand why their windshield shattered.
No, they don't. They're just going to get to their car and it's just going to be a mess.
By the way, this is one of the most on-the-money short texts ever. We were raving about Mahomes earlier, and he said something that's really true. He's got a great quality for a quarterback, short memory. And it is. Like, if you're a closer, if you're a DB, just because you got toasted or gave up a homer, it's like this person in front of you is still going to try and hit another dinger, or they still might go deep and toast you again. And if you're a quarterback, if you threw an interception, you can't not be you the next series, or they got you right where they want you. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. Yeah, so far everybody's like, oh my God, people are just such puritanical knuckleheads. One of our texters said, yeah, forget about these halftime shows. Bring back Up With People. No. I think that was like the first Super Bowl. Or what? Was that like Carol Channing sang at the halftime of the first Super Bowl?
No, I was listening to the Levitar.
Or second one.
Yeah, the first like two or three were just like college bands. They're just like, let the college kids have some fun or whatever. I don't know what to do with this thing. What are they doing in college? The bands play. All right, well, let a band play then. I don't care.
And the band played on.
All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, which many of you are doing, 321-0824. You know, it was really Garoppolo's first year as a starter. He accomplished a lot, but the difference between being the best quarterback in the game and an up-and-comer who's had some moments, I mean, when they got the ball down three and I guess there were now under 6.5 minutes to go after the Kelce touchdown. My thought was, wow, they're in Miami. That's where Montana hit Taylor. And are we going to have a magical moment here? It was literally the opposite. If you remember that sequence, the ball got batted. Next pass got tipped and nearly picked. Then he missed the open receiver that would have won the game. And then that's another thing. What happened or didn't happen? And please tell me I'm not more out of my mind than I usually am. So it's fourth down, and we're all watching the play clock go 3, 2, 1, 0, 1, like almost to 2. And you think, I yell, oh, free play. He gets sacked, and I went to grab something to eat. And I'm like, why are they punting? No flag. Really? Was it me or is that not even close?
It wasn't close. And that's the thing, like, everybody yelled, well, the Saints fans yelled and yelled and yelled, and they added more salt to the earth than was on the earth because they lost because of a bad pass interference call. And the NFL rushed to fix that call by implementing a bad pass interference review system. But that's a completely non-objective, very gray, not black and white thing that, you know, when you're looking at, always looks like a penalty no matter what, if there was or wasn't a penalty. With delay of games, false starts, and offsides, those are defined things. You know where the line of scrimmage is. You know when a clock reads 0 instead of 1 and if the ball has been or been not snapped. Like, those are the penalties that should be reviewed, or there should be a horn.
Yeah, I don't get it.
There should be a horn or something that goes off so that an official doesn't have to take a second and a half between, oh, the clock hit 0, okay, so that's a penalty, but wait, has the ball been snapped? Oh, the ball got snapped, so I guess they must have gotten it off before I saw the clock go to 0. The dumbest thing ever.
Crazy.
The dumbest thing ever.
And they show it on replay, and it's like, because there is a 0, and then you could snap it, because
sure, yeah,
we've heard that explained. But it was like 0. They had given out the MVP award. The teams were on their charters, back home landed, and then the clock reset to 35.
And then they all came back, and then they got reset and played the game all over again, and they got to that point, and it still snapped the ball early.
That was, and first of all, the deal is, if you're Garoppolo and you have a free play, throw it downfield if you think you have a free play. Don't get sacked. What are you, an idiot? But anyway, I did not. I usually don't. You rarely hear me talk about the commercials. I know people say, I watch for, you know, the non-sports people. I watch for the commercials. Really? I'll tell you, and I forget who was the company that advertised. What, were you born under a rock? What, were you born yesterday? What, were you raised by wolves? What, are you clueless? What, do you have your head in the sand? What, are you from another planet? And then the guy walks by who has his head up his rear end. I'm sorry, that was hysterical. That was really, really good. The Groundhog Day redo, that was awesome. It's like, all of a sudden he's like, I get to drive in this Jeep. This is really cool. And it was Brian Doyle Murray and Ned Ryerson, Ned the Needle Nose Ned the Head. Come on. When he said, you sell insurance? No way. Didn't see that one coming. The MC Hammer can't touch this because his hands are all orangey from the Cheetos popcorn. I mean, I was giggle laughing. I mean, that's pretty good. What else was there? Oh, I guess that was the Reese's Take Five ad that I was just talking about. What else was there? Oh, yeah. The dude from The Office and Saturday Night Live, Pack the Car, when Big Poppy leans out the window with the worst Boston accent ever. I mean, he's from the Dominican Republic. But Chrissy Teigen and John Legend, where he makes her say, sexiest man in the world. I like those two. They're very cool. And my girl Winona, like in a scene out of Fargo, sitting on the side of a road in the snow in Minnesota for Squarespace. I mean, remember, Winona literally disappeared for years. I mean, she was part of like the Brat Packers in the late 80s and then the 90s, and then she went away. We didn't hear her name until she got caught shoplifting, and then she came back with that powerhouse Netflix show, Stranger Things, which is awesome. You watch that? How good is that show, by the way?
Pretty good. I think I'd be okay with the ending, though. I think we talked about this after the finale came out, or was it, were you gone then? I can't remember when season 3 ended, but I realized that I was okay with the show.
The needle's getting towards E.
Yeah.
I agree. That's,
you know,
a good call.
Oh, wow, we're going to do the thing where little Mikey disappears or the big monster comes back or whatever. And spoiler alert, is Hopper alive or not? Is he stuck in
That's the only reason to come back now.
Right, but it's just like, if he died, he died very heroically, theoretically saving everybody in the town. Like, we don't have to worry about everything else that's going on and explaining the world and the weirdness. Let that mystery just live on. Don't try and explain it, and then people get mad because they explained it differently than you thought it was, and thus you think it's bad.
Yeah, you get to a point where, all right, if they're little kids, it's one thing, but now by the end of, if they do the next season,
they're gonna be in,
like,
college.
Yeah, right. It's like, all right, we get it. Don't go Happy Days on us, and don't overdo it. We're not buying. We literally don't need to see a Stranger Things shark that they could jump over.
Which I'm guessing, hey, season 4 of Stranger Things, the bad guy is a shark. They have to jump over it.
Sharknado 5 / Stranger Things, the crossover event.
I think there's actually 6 or 7 Sharknados. It's really bad.
Is it really?
There's a whole saga. They started making puns off of like Star Wars names or something like that. It's just, ooh, it's weird, man.
Do you think that some in movies, TV, and entertainment have their P.T. Barnum, or I forgot whoever the one, the P.T. Barnum's basically said, there's a sucker born every minute. I forgot who it was that says, nobody ever went broke underestimating the intellect of the American public, that say, I have the worst idea ever. I'll bet you next year's salary, this goes over huge and makes us big. We're going to have a storm, and it's going to bring sharks. I guarantee we're going to call it Sharknado. And I know I'm walking that line of I should be pushed into a wood chipper, but I'm guaranteeing you these knuckleheads are going to lose it. It's going to make a hit on social media, and people are going to watch the first couple at least.
There is 6 films in the Sharknado film series.
almighty, we're idiots.
Sharknado. Sharknado 2, the second one. Sharknado 3, oh hell no. Sharknado, the fourth awakens. Sharknado 5, global swarming. The last Sharknado, it's about time. It's called It's About Time because it's about time travel, Steve. Not only are there Sharknados, there are Sharknado time travelers. You're telling me you're not going to watch that?
I've never watched any of them, I'm proud to say. Yeah, somebody texted me, and it's so funny because in my notes, I have the same word. The Mountain Dew ad with Bryan Cranston, the take on Here's Johnny, the Stephen King movie, The Shining. I don't think that was good at all. It kind of creeped me out. I literally jotted down the word creepy. And I love Cranston. I mean, he's Tim Watley from Seinfeld. I mean, come on.
He's very good at creepy. We just had Mike Parker called in to fact check you. Nobody went broke doubting H.L. Mencken was the phrase. He wanted me to pass that along to you. So thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. That's awesome. And by the way, let's set a date. Ducks are playing the Beavs. We got to talk to Mike a little later on in the week. I'm not prepared. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, H.L. Mencken. Nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American public. Something along those lines. As the show moves along, I went through the last decade, and with Kansas City winning, breaking a 50-year drought, 10 years from January from 2010 through, I count this as the 2019 seasons. If you go by the four majors, MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, 15 either first-time champions or droughts that lasted either four decades or later. It's really amazing. And, you know, they talk about the era of parity, and then you're like, yeah, but the Patriots are in it every year. But when they're not winning it, somebody's doing it for the first time. I mean, you have the cheaters in Houston. Who else? Well, when the Giants won in 2010, they hadn't won since they were in New York in 1954. You know, the Cubbies ended the drought dating back to the Ottoman Empire. The Nats won for the first time. So, yeah, we got the end. I wrote everyone down. Boy, I spend so much time doing this stuff.
Well, not only that, but you have, of the current holders of the Big Four, all hadn't won in 50-plus years. The Blues with the Stanley Cup, the Chiefs with the Super Bowl, the Nats with the World Series, and the Raptors, technically, weren't around 50 years ago.
Right, right, but they first-timer.
They won their first as well. So all four are breaking droughts or have won their first.
A first-timer or a drought breaker. Three first-timers, the Blues, the Nats, and the Raps, and the Chiefs, who in a lot of ways, they've won a Super Bowl, but they'd never won the AFC. They'd never won the Super Bowl as an NFL team. They were an AFL team. And I'll tell you what, I also went through, I think what people of my generation have witnessed now might also be unprecedented. We watched the same team 50 years apart. I mean, well, obviously, it's kind of tough for you to do. You're going to have to push it. And put it this way, for the 9-year-old, I was 9 when the Chiefs won. For the 9-year-old now, think about it, the Chiefs would have to win in 2079 for them to say the same thing. All right, 284-857, no, 1969, yeah, 100 years. I'll be right with you. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll Richter scale our way out of crunch time next. 95.3 The Score. I've paid my
dues. Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Chiefs need some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle. Hill, open, caught. And they get it. Kansas City, the big play. 20-yard penalty, a first down, first and goal, pass, open, touchdown, Kelce, Chiefs are back in it.
By the way, who was the dude? Was it Jimmy Ward, or was it the guy who had the interception, who insisted he didn't interfere when he never looked back for the ball? jumped as far as he could in the air to face guard. And basically, it would have been less obvious if he took the flag out of the official's pants and threw it on himself, went, grabbed the mic, and made the announcement to the world.
How quickly would you get ejected from a game if you grabbed the flag? Even if you're calling a penalty on yourself, you just like, is it the second you grab the flag, the official's grabbing his hat and he's like,
throwing
no,
his hat.
Too.
That was the audacity to look at anything. By the way, don't turn around and knock it down or intercept the ball. Jump up in the air. Idiot.
Jump directly, spread eagle directly into another person. What? I was just putting my hands up trying to block the pass.
You know, it's obvious when a nincompoop Pac-12 ref would have got it right.
I think
it's that obvious. All right, let's lock things up. The Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It's Monday. It's crunch time. It's the final segment. Let's do that.
It's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Sounds kind of good, doesn't it?
Other people want it. It must be good.
So it's bad.
How bad?
Oh my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Doc.
Nick. Let's get to the Richter scale and power through a non-NFL question, as Dame Time is no longer just a time in the game when Damian Lillard takes over, but rather the world we live in, where every time is Dame Time. If you're going to bed, Dame Time. Getting off from work, Dame Time. Going to work, Dame Time. This is Dame's world, and we're living in it. From January 13th through last night, Dame is averaging 42 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds. He has 3 games over 50 and a 60-pointer. He got his first career triple-double. He's getting MVP chance at Moda because nobody loves Dame like Portland fans do, and it's kind of getting close to the point in the year where we might have to really think about the MVP race, and really the only thing that's hurting Dame case is that the Zers are ninth in the West. How big of an impact has this hot streak had on Dame's MVP case?
Well, he went from not even being considered to probably lock top five, and it's 6 games and they're winning. The problem is their upside is an 8 seed. They're 7 games out of the 7 seed. There's only 32 left. It's going to be a tall order. And like I said on Twitter over the weekend, one guy from a losing team has ever won an MVP, and that was Kareem when there were like 16 teams, and he was insane. His numbers were insane. So there you go.
All right. Last year's Super Bowl sucked. It was not a good game. The halftime show was just meh. The commercials pretty forgettable. This year, very much the opposite. The commercials were great, starting off with the NFL 100 commercial that merged right into Maxwell Bunchy Young, the kid who was taking it to the house, running the ball onto the field. You had your Smat Pack commercial, Can't Touch This from Cheetos. Jason Momoa revealed his true self. For some reason, the Kool-Aid Man brought Mr. Peanut back to life. And then if you didn't cry at the Google commercial learning all about Loretta, you don't have a soul. The one thing that did surprise me, though, no big movie trailer release. I think it would have been the Fast 9 trailer had the trailer not come out on Twitter and it hadn't been 5 minutes long. How do you rate this year's commercials from the Super Bowl?
Way better than recent years. I marked, like I said earlier, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 really good ones that made me LOL. So I'm going to give them an A-.
Now to the actual game and the big oof for Kyle Shanahan. His second ever trip to the Super Bowl, and the dude once again has a lead and watches it all just fall away in a flash. The Niners' offense was fine at the start of the game, working the run, feeding Kittle. Debo Samuels was all over the place. Kyle Juszczyk had a touchdown. It was peak Kyle Shanahan offense. Also, unfortunately, it was peak Kyle Shanahan disaster, calling pass plays when he probably shouldn't have been running it and maybe kind of probably getting screwed over on a pass interference call on George Kittle, but he also should have used his timeouts so he could have had more time to get points on the board, and he could have had like a minute 20 instead of a minute, and then he ran the ball too. It's just the time management there made no sense. He had to have known that you need to score as many points as possible to win this game, and he just kind of threw a possession away. Teams with a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl, 29-3. Kyle Shanahan now has 2 of those losses. He's been outscored 46-0 in fourth quarters in Super Bowls alone.
That's bad.
Sure, you can make the argument, okay, your defense gave up 46 points. He scored zero. He was the lead offensive play caller on both teams. That's a big oof. How much blame should Kyle Shanahan take for watching the lead disappear again?
Well, I did tweet out at 10 points, and I said, rather annoyingly accurately, the question is, how many points will San Francisco have to score to win this game? I knew they were going to have to score. He's the coach. It's his offense. He's the reason they're there. But yesterday, I'll give him a third of the blame.
All right. The Cardiac Chiefs are now atop the mountain. When they played the Texans, famously, they fell behind 24-0 in the first half. And then they scored 28 unanswered and ran away, winning by 20, 51-31. Against the Titans, they fell behind 17-7. And then they came all the way back and won 35-24. And then yesterday, down 10 points with 11 minutes to go, then scored 21 unanswered and had an 11-point lead with 1 minute to go. Mahomes threw a pick that could have sealed the game, and the Chiefs' defense, that kind of wasn't all that great, showed up and kept Kansas City in the game. And it's easy to say that the 49ers choked this one away, but really, it feels like the Chiefs came back and won the crap out of it. Andy Reid gets his Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes his Super Bowl and MVP. He's no longer going to be compared to Dan Marino as that young hotshot quarterback who transformed the game but never won the game. And boy, it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. How do you rate the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl winning season?
It's an A+. They ended the drought. You always hear about the fans at Arrowhead. You've got a wizard at quarterback. You got Andy Reid, his ring. Terrell Suggs ends up getting a ring as well. It's an awesome story. It's a 10.
Last one here, about a minute left. How much do you miss football? We're 220 days away from the opening day of the NFL. I miss football, Steve. Do you miss football?
A zero.
Oh, what? You liar.
I never miss sports.
You liar.
You know what basketball is like my favorite sport, and if that's not it, it's probably baseball, and I play golf. As far as I'm concerned, when football ends, it's a celebration. It's awesome. It's enough already.
You're the worst, Steve.
I take pride in that.
The worst!
All right, again, if you want in, think about the other side, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You could also hit us up via the text line, 321-0824. Try us on Twitter for the station at 953thescore, for the show and me at Sports Talk 953. For Nick Rogers, it is at Rick Nodgers. Looking ahead, much to discuss. 4 o'clock hour, Sports Talk is next. 953 the score.
What did we just see? Holy smokes!